right, so you guys know my daughter goes to Hebrew school.
Yes.
Because this is something she wanted to do.
Right.
You know, I'm not a really huge fan of organized religion.
Yes.
I, you know, those that are, that's cool.
Can I ask you a question on that? You were brought up that way. Is that a rebellion that you don't? Or it's
forced,
just a feeling?
It was force-fed to me. Mm-hmm. I was forced to go to temple. Mm-hmm. I'm a naturally cynical person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a blind believer.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
but
you question things?
I do. And you have to have a certain amount of faith and
yes.
unquestioning
yes.
in order to be a true believer.
True. Mm-hmm.
And that I'm not wired that way.
Yes.
Let alone the fact that I wanted to watch Bugs Bunny on Saturday morning. My dad's dragging my carcass to temple, and you got a problem.
That would do it right there.
Yeah. Sure. Bugs yeah. Bunny's on. I see no reason to leave, and I'm not even supposed to be watching Bugs Bunny, but I'm watching secretly.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just not my thing,
right.
And it was forced upon me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, grew up. I wasn't supposed to go out like driving in cars and whatnot. So I got to walk around the block and get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not my thing. Not my thing, Joe.
Gotcha.
But to each his own.
No, I'm just curious.
I don't openly mock those who are believers.
I do.
You're an evil person. And you're going to go to hell if you believe in such a thing.
No, I'm not. There's other reasons why I'm going to hell.
Yeah. Well, believe me.
I mean, I'm not even sure God exists. It's nice. I hope he does.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Well, something. I'll tell you the weirdest dream that I had. Davin, me, and some road comic got thrown out of church.
I feel like we're doing like a dream sequence.
I know.
It's weird.
But you mentioned religion, and I had this dream last week that Davin, me, and some road comic we were working with, we went to like a church ceremony. And Davin and the road comic were talking about stuff and disrupting the service.
As we're wont to do.
And yes. laughing and disrupting. And I was just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, because you would never chime in on that type of situation. You're a saint.
I'm not, but in church.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen you in church.
But the priest told you guys to, right? He stopped the sermon wherever he goes.
Oh,
could you
God.
Two please leave right now?
He dropped the little boy that was blowing him
yeah.
and scolded us.
Well, it must have been important.
So I was like, could you two please leave right now?
Oh.
And then he looks
it's
at me.
It's just a dream.
And you too. I'm like, what did I do? I wasn't saying anything. I'm minding my own. You go. You were with them. You leave too.
You should have set a better example.
Yeah.
You're the believer here.
Yeah. And, yeah, we all got three. The three of us got thrown out of church.
Did we go to the diner, have some french fries?
Probably, but I didn't dream that.
Well, I'm surprised that's the part you didn't get to.
Yeah.
he woke up with bloody stumps for a face.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good girl.
For the record, I've never been thrown out of a church.
Okay.
Temple now.
No, I don't think so.
Damn near close.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, right.
Oh, I know how to play the game. So, we picked this Hebrew school that we picked for her. Because we thought the rabbi was a good guy.
Right.
Seemed like a really good guy. I mean, he's, you know, he was the guy that, remember when I had that Passover incident a couple years ago, like a year or two ago?
I was going to bring that up.
He was going to write to that rabbi for trying to embarrass
him. So he's a very good guy.
He's a rational guy. Yeah, he wanted to write the letter.
Uh-huh.
The rabbi was even going to do a radio show from here.
Right.
I attended a lot of the events that the rabbi held. Though those type of things, as I've
you're very supportive of him.
I have been absolutely
extremely supportive
yes.
of him.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know that going in a place of God makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
I think even God's uncomfortable with my presence.
Yes, he told me he is.
But you've always But you know,
I'm glad you've been speaking to him, my prophet.
But you've always been respectful and helpful and supportive. He's been the same way with you. It's a good relationship.
You've always spoken well of him.
Believe.
So last year. The rabbi, actually several months ago, rabbi hired me to perform for his congregation.
Right.
Remember this? He asked me, I did it, it went very well.
Mm-hmm.
He said he never had a more successful event, and there was also the stories of me, like, just, like, completely sassing the woman that was running the place because she was being a pain in the ass.
Yes.
You know, oh, you need a tablecloth. I'm like, well, then go get it. I told that story.
Funny.
Yeah, it's like, don't you? I'm the talent. Shut up, you. See, that's when you follow up when you put the red meat out there.
Yes.
I can't let that breathe because I knew when I said it on its own.
You caught it because you caught it quicker than I did.
Yeah.
I threw it on my anger. Like, ain't coming back.
Yeah,
ain't coming back.
As
Becky,
I was saying,
done.
I'm like, we got to bring this down.
Yeah.
Evasive maneuvers. Evasive maneuvers.
I just was like, I was just like, I'm like, oh no.
Why did I do that?
I'm doing barrel rolls to stay out of the barrel.
He's running in a zigzag pattern.
I can't believe I said I have talent with Joe Curry in the room.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Unless I'm talking about a stripper, he's not going to believe that for a second. So anyway, so like I say, it was a huge success. My wife was even pleased with the event, and she hates when I mix business with pleasure.
Right.
But this is not something I sought out. I didn't go, hey, you should hire a comic.
No, they asked for you.
Yeah. So I get a call from the rabbi a few weeks ago where he tells me he had an event planned, but the musicians he hired canceled. He asked me if I can find him something. He wanted something with a twist. He was thinking like a mentalist.
Okay.
I'm like, well, the only mentalist I know is Kreskin, and you can't afford him.
Yeah.
I don't know a bunch of like half-ass mentalists running around.
And my mom's dead, so yeah. You can't have her either. Mentalist. Anyway.
Just let that sit there.
I haven't been sitting there. I haven't been handing her notes.
No. Yeah, I know. Look at Joe. I have a prolonged like Joe, like Joe was guilty for that.
Don't slight your eyes at me.
So I tell him, well, that's going to be tough to do.
Right.
So he's like, well, what about a comic? But he wants a twist. I don't know exactly what this means. He wants a he wants a Jewish comic, though.
Okay.
And he's giving me a couple days to do this. Not the biggest, but a couple weeks to do this, and not the biggest budget in the world.
Right.
Okay. Let me see what I can do.
So you have to find an inexpensive Jewish.
Not inexpensive, but
comedian.
We're not.
They call Harry.
Well, it's not about. We'll get to who I hired and whatnot. Yeah. But you know, yeah, there's a few guys.
Right.
There's a few guys, but I need them to do 45 carried on their own. And remember, they really loved me, so I need somebody who has
more animate. Animated.
Yeah. A little bit more of a... I need somebody with a presence.
Yeah. Right.
You know, not that you can't have a more cerebral, mild-mannered person, but you kind of got to ease them into that after.
But you
want to
know something, though?
Yeah.
Jewish audiences want to be entertained. And
as opposed to those regular audiences that like black people that want to be angered.
No, they're a little...
Funny. The comic dressed as a cop goes, hey, everybody throw your hands up in the air. No, seriously.
Throw your hands up in the air.
but like I said, Jewish audiences tend to be a little bit more critical.
Yeah.
With their acts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. Because they all have friggin' opinions.
Yeah.
And they want to share it.
Yes.
Which is something as a comic I'm really not interested
in. And they don't. They'll break out knitting or do something. Yeah. And it's happened.
I've had that. I've had people knit.
Yeah, that's why. Yes. No, I'm here.
Anyway, so I find him some. I make some polls. I find him some. I find him a Jewish comedian who has 30 years of experience, does cruise ships, is constantly on television, like the big shows. He's constantly acting in television shows like Gotham and Veep on HBO.
It sounds great.
He's African-American.
Okay.
He converted.
Okay.
And there's your twist.
There's my twist.
That is a great twist.
That sounds like some great booking on my part, does it not?
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
I think so. So I let him know who I found. He thinks I'm kidding about the comic being black.
Oh.
I'm like, no, I'm dead serious.
There wasn't, Sammy Davis Jr. wasn't the only one.
I know. And then I'm like, and I'm at a surprise party for Elise's friend, texting back and forth.
Right.
And I write in cap locks. I'm like, no. He's like, well, you do that to me when you're trying to be emphatic? I wanted to say, no, when I'm screaming at you, mother. But yes, I'm
yes.
being emphatic.
Yes.
This guy's good. He's got a great resume. He's doing me a favor. We're lucky to get this guy. Joe, I will actually write down who I'm talking about because I don't want to say the comic's name.
Right.
But I'm sure when I say the name, you've certainly heard of it and you probably know him.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I've worked with him.
Very good, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Professional.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. So this is why. So I tell him I got him exactly what he wanted. But he feels that the audience will not relate well to my comic.
Why?
Well, that's what I ask. Just don't think he'll relate well. I go, is it because he's black? I have to ask
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the reason?
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at my notes. And of course the rabbi goes, no, of course not. He's like, well, I'm the client. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. And I got you exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. Jewish with a twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a great resume.
And a little bit of Carmel mixed in.
Who's a
too.
Former Marine and police officer too, by the way.
Wow.
So this guy's a hero.
And very yeah. funny. I did, we worked briefly together in Philly about 2 years ago and he ripped the place apart. He's really good.
Well,
really
besides good. That, he's got a lot of different niches that he can go into, a lot of life experience to use for
completely.
His act. It's great.
I also tell him that I find often in front of Jewish crowds, this goes a little bit to what Joe was talking about, that the non-Jews, not that this guy's non-Jew, do better. I mean, I used to book a bunch of Jewish places Joe performed on.
Yeah.
It's harder as the Jewish
comic. They're very critical.
Because with
large.
The non-Jews, it's exotic.
Yeah.
It's exactly with the Jews, and I even, because I did a show for Jews last Wednesday, it was great. I had a great time, did it with John LaRocchia, birthday party, great time. Right. But I even said this to them, you know, the problem being a Jewish comic performing in front of Jews, half the Jews are going, you know, my cousin Saul is much funnier than him. Because every Jew thinks they have a funnier Jew in the family.
Yes.
So,
that's true.
Now, I never realized that, where the Jewish audiences are more crucial against the Jewish comic.
Oh, yeah. It's not like a black audience when in front with a black comic and they, like, fall over themselves, or the Italian audience with the Italian comic. The Jews, I could do better.
Well, you want to know something? A friend of ours, I don't want to mention his name, but is Jewish. His name doesn't sound Jewish, but he did a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he put, his last name was Gold that night.
Oh, that's funny.
And I go, why is that? He goes, because you got to get right in
there. Oh, that's funny.
So, anyway. So he asked me if he can see some clips of the comic. I said, I'm sure there are clips out online.
Got to be plenty.
Yeah. I go, but I don't know what you'll find. And I looked some beforehand, to be honest. I didn't see any Jewish clips, but I didn't have Jewish clips online until a few years ago when I specifically got asked.
Yes.
So I cobbled together some Jewish clips. I mean, I don't have a ton of Jewish material. I weave it in and out there.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not your stereotypical, usual Jewish material that I do.
No, no.
It's certainly has a little bit more of a different flavor.
Yeah, it's not your 10 minutes on gefilte fish.
It's not, although I'm working on that.
Don't say that word, please.
I'm so sorry.
Joe,
I know. Me too.
So a few days later, I get a call from the rabbi saying that the venue need to change dates, and he'll let me know of the new date.
Okay.
I go, fair enough.
Yeah.
I informed the comic. So last Friday, Black Friday, as it were. No, it's true. I'm not
or
making
please a, not Black Friday.
Yeah,
that's
the case.
I think this is going.
I decide, you know what? I haven't heard from the rabbi in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
See what's going on. So I do a little searchy search, and sure enough, there's a flyer advertising a show in January. With a different comic,
huh.
who happens to be white and Jewish. I will tell Joe who it is, because he knows who it is.
The answer is hermetically sealed in a jar.
No, it's just no reason to say names. It's not.
No, I know. I'm kidding. It's like you're doing the case.
Okay. Okay. Who you know.
Yeah, who I'm friends with.
Yes.
And who also happens to be close friends and partners on some events with the African-American comic.
Oh, dear.
Who was also represented by the same agency that's handling the radio show.
Yes. Oh, dear.
It's a very, very small world.
Oh, my.
And who usually helps out the agency at about 8:45 every
now,
night.
Now. Yeah. Now. Joe. I don't know that to be true. So I text the rabbi. Go, hey, did you find out? Did we get that date yet?
Yeah.
You know, playing a little
nudge. Devil's advocate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is Friday. I don't hear back from Monday till Monday. He calls me up. So what's he say? So he says, yeah, it's I'm just trying to look at my notes for a second. More in a minute. So he's like, yeah, you know, I just didn't feel he was right. So, you know, a couple of days ago, called another agent. I go, well, you didn't feel he was right based on what?
Hold on. Why didn't he call you back and tell you that? I don't want to interrupt you because we're going to
it's an excellent
we're
gonna point.
We're going to get to both points. But the one that struck me right before your point was, so why didn't you call me?
That's
a guy I have a relationship with, a guy that my daughter got, you know, all that. Why didn't you call me?
Yeah, why do you have to go to somebody else?
You backdoor me like that?
Yeah.
Is that as a man of God? That's a morally right thing?
That. No, it's a business thing. You're working with me. I'm looking for exactly what you look for. I come up with one thing that you don't like. So you don't say, no, I don't like that house. Let's go look at more houses.
Not, it's not like some bar gig or some restaurant you're doing. It's an event with a man of the cloth that you've been doing events with and have been dealing with.
Yeah.
He's the guy that gives, you know, sermons. I don't know what they give a sermon at the temple there.
Yeah.
All right.
They all want to tell you how to live your life.
And how to be ethical and stuff like that. You know,
right.
He of all people,
Yeah. Have you heard of ethics, sir?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
We'll get to that point. But yeah, that is one of the points. So I go, well, based on what? I go, it's based on the color of his skin. No, I'm not a racist. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a...
My congregation is, though.
Well, I even said that. I go, okay, well, it's either you're a racist or your congregation is a racist.
Yes.
It's one of those two things.
Yes.
And he goes, well, you know, as a matter of fact, there happens to be...
We don't like the blacks.
We recently have a black person who recently converted and prays at our temple. I go, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. I go, that's like every white racist. He goes, well, I have a black friend. I go, it's the same thing.
Wait, that's not right? That doesn't work?
We got a black guy converted.
So what?
That's enough.
I can't be racist. Yeah. We have one.
But, I mean, there's not traditionally a lot of African-American Jews.
No, true.
I mean, if you go to Ethiopia, there's Ethiopian...
Right. Women,
but not in America. But they do exist. But that's the justification.
There's one guy in our congregation?
Yeah.
One guy. So, of course, that means we can't possibly be.
He goes, well, it would be... I go, what's this based on? He goes, well, it would be like if I, meaning him, went to a bar and started telling jokes. I go, No, because you're not a comedian.
Yeah.
This comedian can go in front of this audience and present jokes. I go, it would be like me if I went to the temple and started talking about laws of the Torah.
Right.
I go, because that's something I'm not qualified to do.
Right.
This the comic I hired is qualified to do this show.
Right.
He's like, well, you know, this one time, you know, I hired these Chinese dancers for an event, and the dancers were wearing something skimpy, and I got in a lot of trouble. I go, yes, because that was the content of their act.
Yeah.
The content of my community.
He's not showing up in a thong, Rabbi.
Damn.
What a Chinese... Really, please, Rabbi, don't break your ankle backpedaling.
Well, you know, it's always got to be scary for a man of God when the dick joke telling comic has the higher moral ground.
Yeah, right.
It's not a good morning.
Really?
So I go.
And you can't write that into the contract that he show up in the little.
Goes, well, you know, do you know anything about the comic you did hire? He goes, no, not really. I don't do a lot of research. I go, exactly. But I did.
Yeah.
That's why you hired me. Because yes. I did do the research.
Yeah.
And I did have the guy that would be right for it. By the way, as a side note, the agency and another agency, which I'll get to, who knows both comics, mm-hmm. and I'll get to that in a moment, all agree that the guy I hired was the better fit for this particular...
Of course he was.
And it's not about being funny. It has nothing to do about being funny. It's about...
He was Jewish with a twist.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's not some guy. I mean, I know the name. I worked with him. Mm-hmm. Watched him level a room.
Yeah.
The guy, you know.
Well, he's African-American. He might have been trying to steal shit, Joe.
Don't you have like gold or silver stuff up there on the altar or whatever it is?
You know,
he's leveling the room, meanwhile stealing stuff from the Torah, the Bima, they call it.
But yeah. You know what, though?
It's Ferguson up in this game, B'nai Yeshurin.
But I can melt this shit down.
But the funny thing is, let's cut the nonsense. Jews love to complain. All right, and you're going to have a whole congregation.
Is that what I'm doing now?
No. Hear me out, please. He's going to have, and like I said, Jewish audiences are picky, you know, and it's like, I get a funny feeling that he, even though it's racist and it's not wrong, it's a place of God, he feels in the back of his mind that he wants the guy, but he's going to get at least 20 phone calls. You know, he was black, and we didn't like that. And I don't know, maybe if you could have got, you know, okay, Mrs. Kravitz, you know. All right, he was black, I know Mrs. Rubin.
Joe,
you know,
let's say that's right, and it's a distinct possibility.
I think it's most of a distinct possibility.
But here's the thing, if he was right, as a man of God, as a leader of the congregation, as a righteous man, that is when you are needed most to stand in the face
not
of this.
Not only that. Is if he, I would take the gamble, okay? Because in your heart, color should not matter,
right?
You know this is a great guy for the job, and the night should be a success, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if the show goes, I know the guy's going to kill, and it's going to be a great night. But for those naysayers that complain, he would laugh, blah blah blah. That's a perfect sermon for Saturday,
yeah.
To get up there and go, we had the show is good. But I want to point out where color and perception, folks. Goes beyond
right.
And affect. So, you know, I mean, because a lot of times in the Catholic Church, priests will bring a good priest who gives a good sermon. He'll go up there and go, you know, I was at my cousin's, and we had the kids, and the kids were fighting. But, and then he'll take the kids fighting over something, mm-hmm. and then bring it into a sermon.
Yeah, yeah.
And where we could all learn something. And that, as a clergyman, would be a perfect example. To do that, it could literally kill two birds with one stone.
That's
if that was his
do.
Biggest concern, you do the show, the people that are going to complain, you're going to make an example of him on Saturday. Why? Because I'm a rabbi, and because we're supposed to love everybody and not judge people from the color of their skin.
Right, right. No.
Well, it would seem that way.
Really? Yeah. A right-wing Republican dick joke? Tella has to explain it.
I know, right?
Yeah, but as far as social things, you're a little bit more evolved than your average Republican dick joke.
Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
But you're absolutely. It's like, well, here's a teachable moment. If that's the case,
exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. You should capitalize on it.
I go. Well, he goes, I'm not a racist. I go, I don't know. I go, I wouldn't have said that.
I'm sorry. Where you had to have him against the wall.
He was against the wall, really.
To say I'm not a racist.
All right, let's stop. Yeah. You guys know how I am with an argument.
Yeah.
You guys have been. Not very often, you Pip. Joe is arguing with me on occasion. He knows how fact oriented I am. You guys have certainly seen it.
Yeah.
With the scammers and the way I nailed their ass to the wall. I even said to him, I go, listen, I'm not talking to you as a rabbi. I'm going to talk to you man to man.
Ooh. Good for you.
I said,
you got the yarmulkes off on this one.
Nice job. They dropped the yarmulkes.
The
chitzes are out. The curlicues are flying. Hide your mezuzahs, boys and girls. Shit's going to get real. They're going to start throwing Jewish stars at each other. The prayer shoulder off.
Shul's getting real.
Shul's getting real.
Jews gone wild.
Yes, that's right.
So so I go, so and then I go, and I go, and then to go to the point that you brought up, I go, you don't even tell me. I got to find out through advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we didn't print any flyers. I got my
wife. The hell is this?
What's this? Yeah.
He goes, we just put it on one. I got my, you send out emails. My wife got the email.
Oh.
A flyer as good as an email.
Yeah.
Why do we put up, we sent out email. That's the same thing as a flyer. It's just electronic, stupid.
We didn't. That's so stupid.
Ay-yi-yi-yi-yi. Boy, he had his foot in cow shit.
Oh, he certainly did. I go, I go, here's the thing. I go, we're there because my daughter wants to be there.
Yes.
I never wanted
right.
to be there.
Right.
I go to your events mm-hmm. to support my daughter.
Right.
And to support you.
Mm-hmm.
I will no longer be going to events.
Right.
And he's like, well, you know, I'm not a racist. I'm like, well, you are.
You kind of are.
You kind of are.
Yeah, so what
and you know what? Maybe you're not rabbi, but you congregate. You think that your congregation is.
You're suborning racism.
And isn't your job as a man of God to sway people from that perception?
Yes.
You know? I mean, it's not, you know, you...
Just as you said, it's a teachable moment. That should have been.
Oh,
where
and this is what I tell him. You like this? I go. And as far as teaching my daughter,
mm-hmm.
you just teach her what's in there. Don't teach. I go because the way you do business and the way you think is not the way I think. Leave the morality to me. I got this.
Oh snap!
Again,
great.
The Dick Joe comic is the one with the morality. But you know what? It's not the way I do business. I say awful things. We call each other racist. I say the most despicable. things on this show that's probably going to prohibit me from running for office. I know you're all disappointed.
Like I'd vote.
Then you can't bid.
Ripping up my voter card.
But at the end of the day, it's how you live your life.
Yes.
He goes, well, you know, I hope you can, you know, look at the good things that we've done. I'm like, whatever. So then
you're not supposed to do a bad thing. Two bad things, not level with you and to be and have worry about your racist congregation and then go, well, look at what we've done. It's looking what you're doing now.
But there's more.
Really?
Oh.
So I tell the comic that this happened to. I talk to the other comic,
yes.
the white comic who I'm friends with.
Right.
And he tells me who the agency is.
Right.
Who happens to be an agency that I've told many a story about on this air.
You know? Yeah, them those guys? Oh, no. Good. Good.
And you know that for all the shenanigans, I'm pretty open and close with that agency.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing your luck, you're going to the king. By the time that little stupid's walking in.
So get this. They reached out to the agency like the day when I told the rabbi to look at the clips, which was several days before he called me to tell me that the date was moved. They reach out to the agency.
Guess who's not coming?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
They reach out to the agency. They say they had me last year. They loved me. They'd hope to have me again. But, you know, they want to mix it up, which I'm fine with, which I told them they should do, too.
Yes.
I shouldn't be. So the agency asks how much I got.
Right.
And the rabbi comes back with about 25% less.
Then he was offering you.
He was telling the agency I worked for 25% less than I did.
Oh.
So he's lying to the agency now. So now we got more lies. He's calling me up after he already knows he's got somebody else and lying to me. He's lying to the agency. We got a habitual liar here.
Yeah, he just lied about every single item in the story.
And I told him, I go, you do realize that the black comic is friends with the white comic, and this is a very small world.
What'd he say?
He was a little worried, and he was like, at one point, he was like, are you saying the white comic's not funny? I go, no, I'm not saying that at all. I go, I'm not commenting on the other comic, he's fine. This has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
This has to do with you.
Yeah.
So, the agency told me all this. So this guy's a habitual liar.
Wow, that's so disappointing.
So now here's... Wow, we're really running a long time. But you know what?
No, this is a good... No, this is a great story. Whatever.
So here's my conundrum. Clearly, I am turned off by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here are my... before I get to my experience with the rabbi, I'll talk about my conundrum in this situation.
Okay.
My daughter wants to go to this Hebrew school.
Right.
She's made friends there.
Yep.
She likes the rabbi, his wife, that rabbi's family,
yeah,
the teachers and everything. There's another Hebrew school in about the same distance where she could go where her other friend is.
Hmm.
I don't think she wants to switch. I really don't want to pay any more money because I have to pay for my kid to go to Hebrew school.
Yeah.
To support this.
Right.
And I really don't think I can have the conversation now with my daughter about what went down because thankfully, and I think this gets more and more every generation, she doesn't look at people in different colors.
Yes.
You know, she's a young kid. She's only 8, but she doesn't look at people in colors.
So this will, like, blow her away. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to be, you know, eventually we're going to have a conversation about race.
Yes.
But I don't want it to be because I brought it up over this type of thing.
She's too young to understand.
Yeah.
you did mention to the rabbi when, you know, you teach my daughter, you know, you teach her morals. Also, with...
I said you don't teach her morals,
but you did have a conversation with the rabbi about teaching your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for your daughter, she's got Russ, who teaches values as well.
Yeah, but she's got me. I can teach values, but the kid
stays where she is. She's too young to understand.
But it means that I'm still supporting in some way a racist and a liar.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yes, but that's just the way you do it. I've supported racists and liars my whole life.
But sometimes the feelings of a little girl have to overpower the feelings of a father.
So I can bat. Well, but I believe that if I were to pull her out,
mm-hmm,
if I were to, that at some point I would have the conversation with her when she's older.
Right.
And she would understand, respect, and appreciate that decision.
Hmm. Now let me throw this in the mix. What does your wife say?
That's what I was thinking about her too.
You know, the more that I've revealed that, yes, I found out, and that's what blows me away. It's like it's a small community, and you do. I've told you about all my investigative reporting shenanigans. Do you really think I'm the guy to lie to?
You're gonna let this sit?
I mean, the thing.
Well, that's besides that. But what is your wife? What's your wife feeling on this?
You know, she's not happy about this. But again, you got to put the daughter first.
You do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I still contend. But now that my wife's come around, well, you know what? We could talk to her, ask her if she'd be interested in switching come the winter break.
Right.
And, you know, leave it to her. If she doesn't want to switch, there's nothing I can do. I don't have to attend the events.
Right.
But here's where it does get sticky.
Yeah.
She's going to graduate because they graduate every year. They have a ceremony, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That is something I should be at.
You have to go.
I have not even told the rabbi all that I know about his lying.
Right.
But I've called him on the carpet about being a racist.
Yeah.
And I've instructed my parents, who every year they go to the graduation and they donate some money.
yeah.
to the congregation. I've instructed my father, who writes that check, that there will be no more of that.
Oh, by the way, yeah, you know what? During the story, I was wondering how your father feels about all this.
Well, you know what? Listen, I don't think my father's a racist, but you know, when I was growing up, the house, the word schwarze, which means black, was used a lot. I think
we're familiar with that word.
Your father is Orthodox, right? What, you know, am
he's
I,
not pleased. What's he going to say?
But as an Orthodox Jew, his opinion is matter, but not so much matters, but is welcome, very welcome into the conversation.
Listen, I think each generation gets a little less racist.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it there. I think, Joe, you're probably less racist than perhaps your folks were.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. My aunt, God, I love her, and she's in her, I think she's 83, and she tells stories about the nursing home. You know, not the nursing home, but when they get together to go to all the little things they go to, the activities.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man, that generation has not dropped it.
No, they don't give a damn. No. My dad would say stuff that today, like, oh, God. But in practice, he was decent to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't treat people any differently. But when we were in the house, he'd make jokes and stuff. And it's
right.
Like,
I think each generation gets a little
less. Each generation definitely gets less racist.
So that's what I'm hopeful for her. Now, I'm going to give you briefly about my experiences with rabbis. And then my broader point, which I think might be controversial to a lot of people.
Okay.
So my experiences with rabbis, as a teen I had one, an Orthodox rabbi, my family's rabbi, try to intervene in my relationship with my very serious at the time Gentile girlfriend.
Right.
You know, like oh, you know, this is hurting your parents, this, that, the other thing, which, again, pushes me further away because as a teen you don't
want to hear this. It would.
Yeah. A rabbi married me and my wife, and he's a lovely man.
Okay.
That rabbi also happens to be my father's partner's wife's father, so there's a little way of knowing. But I don't know him very well, but we met with the rabbi a few times. Delightful man, lovely man. I don't know him that well, but nothing bad to say. So that's a positive experience with a rabbi.
Right.
Then, of course, we had the story where we had that rabbi interrupt my performance during Passover.
Yeah.
Try to embarrass me,
which
doesn't work.
They don't need your help.
No. All right, Joe. and now we have this rabbi.
Yeah.
So these are the holy men that I've had direct experience with in my faith.
Well, you know, I tell you, it's even in the Catholic Church.
Well,
I mean, I
want to get there. Let me set this up and then make the point, and then you guys chime in. Because I want to talk about the clergy at large. It's not just the Jewish.
No, not at all.
But sticking with the Jews, there's a big scandal in the Orthodox Jewish community about rabbis being sexual predators, which I had brought up to you guys about something whether we would tackle on this show.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Because my brother-in-law is very involved.
We might
still do it because I was talking to him and I figured out, you know what, away with the Cosby thing because there's sort of a lead into it and our show has evolved more.
Yes.
We're a little bit more mature. So we might come to that. But there's a scandal with these Orthodox rabbis being predators of children, and the cover-up, much like there is in the Catholic Church, with these scandals that are probably more publicized in the Catholic Church, but they're also making news in the Orthodox temples.
Yes.
We're constantly hearing of Christian leaders taking advantage of parishioners, having sex with them. That one was just in the news. Or teaching hate based on sexual orientation, constantly railing against homosexuals.
Right.
We have Reverend Al Sharpton, who Joe posted about on his Facebook page.
Yes.
And who I think, I'm not a fan of Reverend Al.
Because
I think at best he's an attention whore and an Obama shill. Mm-hmm. And at worst he's a race baiter.
Yes.
I mean, that's just my opinion on him. And we have Muslim imams teaching hate and terror in their mosques, while other Muslims largely, but not entirely, remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
And we hail Pope Francis for being a great reformer, when in reality, if you really think about what he's saying, he's just being a decent human being.
Right.
If you it's like, I mean, but because I guess the Catholic Church has been so anti-humanist.
Yes.
And so douchey for so long that when you finally have a man who's a humanist and a people, he's looked at as a great reformer. And I like Pope Francis.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's just saying what a decent human being should say.
Right.
It's not like.
It's tough to get reform in the Catholic Church and crack down on priests because a lot of men are not going into the priesthood.
Right.
So, and I'm not saying it's right. Please don't think I'm saying it's right. So if he's trying to look into the pedophilia cases and stuff like that, I think in the back of his mind or his advisor's mind, he goes, well, if we get rid of 500 priests, we're having a problem getting people coming at the seminaries into the priesthood. We're down a lot of people now.
Yeah, they have shrinking numbers, parishioners as well as priests.
Now that's a wrong thought. That's a wrong thought.
Yeah.
You know, if I was there, I'd say, well, go after these guys, get them out. And the Catholic Church is doing it, have a lot more lay people. Go in and do things with the priest.
Yeah, I know.
I was trying to keep it highbrow. You know?
Were you?
Yes.
And you threw that one at me?
Yes.
All right, Joe, I'm sorry.
I try to keep
I forgot where I was.
All right. But Pope Francis, is, as a reformer, he's got his advisors telling him, hey, which is wrong.
Here's my controversial stance, which I'm sure some will applaud. Mm-hmm. And others will say hearsay. Mm-hmm. I have no use for the clergy class. I think a lot of them are complete scumbags who use their position of power to take advantage. Mm-hmm. And it's non-denominational. That's why I gave examples of everything. I believe that very often the people that are doing the preaching are worse people and more morally corrupt than the people they are preaching to. And I think we've seen this throughout history. In the time of Jesus, the rabbis became corrupt, which is how Jesus came to power.
Yes.
And more modern times, the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1400s, we saw how the church was corrupt and keeping the people down. So this is a historic thing. This is going on from time, and we still see it now. And I'm just talking about my personal experiences, and I'm bringing that to it. I got no use for the clergy. If you want to believe in a faith, cool, man. You know what? It's comforting to have faith. I don't got a problem with you. But the vast majority of these holy men, they think their shit don't stink, and they're just like every other scumbag manipulating people to suit their needs. And really, to find the most righteous people, and it kind of goes back to what Joe was saying about a perfect time for doing a lecture, to find the most righteous people, that's when you take, those are the people that take the stand when it's difficult.
Yes.
And for the Jews out there listening, think about your Schindlers of the world. There was this other guy in Czechoslovakia who saved all these Jewish children. What did they do? They took a stand. They made the difficult thing to do, the righteous thing to do, the moral thing to do, the dangerous thing to do, the hard decision to save people, Jewish people, because it was the right thing to do. Now, you look, all you clergy, listen, because I know we've got a lot of them. How many of you would really do it, and would you do it for the right reasons? That's my point. And I know what I'm saying is hearsay to some, but I'm speaking from the heart, because you know what? I thought this guy was different. You guys know I thought this guy was different.
Do you mean heresy?
Yeah, that's probably the word.
Yes.
Heresy.
Heresy.
Yes. Heresy, stupid lawyer.
The rabbi doesn't like the blacks. Did you hear that?
that's
hearsay.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to
pounce on you. No, you're right.
I want you to say the right thing.
Yeah, proper English would be helpful on the talk show. And I thought this guy was different. But when it came down to it, like we've discussed, either he's a racist, or he thinks his congregation is a racist, and I don't know which one's worse, but either one, I got a problem with it, and it's not morally right.
No, not at all. Basically, with the Catholic Church, I don't know if I told the story before. My mom walked out of my baptism.
Yeah. I think you might have mentioned this.
I'll mention it briefly. My father was atheist. My mother was.
You didn't mention this.
My father was atheist. My mom was not really practicing Catholic that much.
Okay.
They decided, you know what? Why don't we get Joe baptized? So what they did was they made arrangements with the church in Brooklyn, and they brought me there. And it was over a certain time period the Catholic Church required for kids to get baptized. The priest started laying into my mother and father and said, oh, you Italians, you think you can just come in whenever you want and get your kid baptized, and you don't want, just the rules of the church are just no, concession to you at all, blah, blah. My mother had enough. She handed to me my aunt, you take him. And my mom walked out of my baptism.
Wow!
Then fast forward to when I did have an interest as a kid. Now, my mom left the church after that. She did not go back. I had a neighbor that went to Catholic Church. I went to a mass.
Yeah.
And I came back, and I wanted to go. And I started going. They wanted to get me into Catholic education.
Mm-hmm.
he was a kid that wanted to go, was not forced to go, but wanted to go.
Yeah.
Okay? And there was a requirement that it was a certain age or whatever. And the only reason I wanted to go.
Yeah.
The only reason I got in was because my neighbor across the street was good friends with the pastor. And she went down and talked to the pastor and said, look, the kid must have gone. Could you let him in? Without her, I never would have got in. The problem with religion is that it's with the organization of it. Why do people follow the religion? Because since you were young, the religion has been there to comfort you in a time of need. Mm-hmm. At a holiday, Christmas, at a funeral, when the priest would get up, you know, you look for that comfort. Why people put up with it is they're looking for that comfort need.
Yes.
Are people, well, they don't have to go to church. A lot of people don't.
Right.
I'll be the first one to admit, I'm the guy that goes to, you know, I'm the guy that goes to Easter and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the way things have been lately, I'm going to go that. I don't think I should be stepping foot in one.
But are you going out of ritual or because you really...
I'm going... It's going out of a sense of comfort. A sense of comfort.
That is the one thing religion provides.
All right, now...
But do we need these clergy to be providing the comfort? Or can it be good people within the congregation?
It should be good people within the congregation. And I think people should need to, you know, to find a religion that they like. There's a lot of independent churches where it's nice, and a friend of mine goes to one, and she likes it a lot, and stuff, you know, and I find that refreshing, where, you know, it's not about all the pomp and circumstance.
It's like a non-denominational.
Non-denominational, and
yeah.
That's the one thing where you go and you celebrate, and you're trying to live. But, you know, trying to live by, you know, the Ten Commandments. Sometimes it's not easy, but you try your best.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be with all the fanfare that goes around it. But there are some people that are just blindly led.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a friend of mine, you know, sometimes with organized religion or even, you know, her father ruined the Thanksgiving meal because of his views.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, listen, in my own experiences, there was a good chance my father was going to disown me if mm-hmm. I continued, if I would have married this Gentile girl that I was with for like 4 or 5 years.
Well, sometimes
wow.
It goes. I dated a Jewish girl. It didn't go well in my house, you know. So it's
well,
just,
Jews. I mean, after but, what but I said, who wants?
But
to
it's the old. But it's that old. But it's that old thinking. But you know. But yeah. Nonetheless, I mean, that was, you know, it was a religious thing where you had to be talked out of it. I mean, you know, the church. But you want to know something? The Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were marrying a Jewish girl, yeah, it can't be. They would have to convert. You can't do it unless they convert.
Yeah.
My point is this: as we know, power corrupts. These people are by their title, are given a position of esteem and respect
mm-hmm.
because they are supposed to be living a word closer to God. That, but in most faiths, God is a good
mm-hmm.
being, is a generous being, and everything. So these people are supposed to be the best of the best. And all I'm saying is, they take the power like politicians in power. Mm-hmm. Everybody kisses their ass.
Well, let's bring something else up, okay?
All right.
Jesus Christ, all right? Whether you regard him as a savior or a prophet, okay?
Right.
The way he walked into that the temple when he started going into the temples.
Of the money changers.
Of the money changers.
He
going
quite the ruckus.
Right.
Yes. He was throwing over tables.
Now, think about the rabbi. Think about the Catholic priest thing. What if Jesus, what would Jesus do? What if Jesus walked in and saw this, and what he would say to them. Your situation, about situations with the Catholic Church.
Well, in my situation, I don't think the rabbi would believe it's Jesus.
Because he was a prophet, okay?
All right.
All right, just if he walked in, and it's the prophet Jesus. And Jesus, you would look. Jesus will look at the situation. I'm sorry, just getting involved with the gig.
No, I mean, to be fair, Jesus historically, although the religion doesn't want to believe this, was, you know, because it's from Africa, Jesus was a black man, so he may have been kicked out.
No.
He certainly could not get up there and tell jokes.
But you think he was going to get past the doorman?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
but,
we
but
have
but
one.
It's like, but if Jesus,
we have one. That's our quota. You're out.
Yeah, but if sometimes I'm in church and I look at all the majesty and stuff like that, and I'll sit there and I go, if Jesus walked in, he would be like, "What is all this stuff?"
Yeah.
But if Liberace walks, he goes, "This is good."
I know. But some people love it. But anyway.
But those trappings are there to impress and intimidate. Because that's
what,
yes, to intimidate the worshipers into believing in this giant hierarchy above you that is not only God and saints, but also is the clergy above you. Above you is the important
part
there.
And then, right, if Jesus was in there, people would go, what is all this with the ceiling and all?
Oh, yeah.
We're praising you. Okay, that's nice. Are you living by my words?
Right.
Believe me,
here's the thing about religion and what people do, not just the Holy Man. They bend it
to meet their needs.
That's
right.
Exactly what they do.
Absolutely.
Which is why I say I really have no use for organized religion.
No.
Because it's just ways to keep you in line to somebody else's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, you know, I was actually working on a bit where I wanted to change. People do that. And I was trying to change the words, like the commandments, you know, like, thou shalt not eat meat during Lent, except when the McRib is out. That's the McRib. But they do make an exemption like that where they bend the rules. Now, yes. During Lent is St. Patrick's Day. If St. Patrick's Day falls on a Friday, you can't eat meat on Friday. But because St. Patrick was a patron saint, hold the phone, God signed a waiver.
Corned beef's okay.
Corned beef's okay. Don't eat steak. But corned beef, yeah, that's all right.
Is that nuts?
So it's yeah. Purgatory. They got rid of purgatory. Purgatory is gone. Why are we those? So what about all the people that are waiting there?
In the defense, you know, it's been a rough economy. There's been cutbacks.
But
we had to lay Satan off.
But the Catholic Church, what about all the people in purgatory? It must look like Penn Station during a strike.
Well, you know,
they're standing around.
No, it looks like, you know what happens when you find out your business is going out, your company's going out of business. Everybody scurries and steals pencils. So basically, there's no more office supplies in hell.
You know, that waiting room finally emptied out.
But it's like, there's purgatory. Nah, not anymore. Yeah. What?
That guy works in mysterious ways. He's like the economy. You don't have to understand.
I guess think of the mysterious way. Yeah, where you felt bad.
But that's
God woke up, changed his mind. We're not needed anymore.
All right, no purgatory.
That's the key to it, though, is that the element of faith is also, in a lot of religions, the element that says you are not allowed to question these articles of faith.
Sure.
You are to obey these commands, and you are not to question
them.
But
see, that's the interesting thing about the Jewish faith. There is a lot of questioning.
Episcopalians like to ask questions, too.
I mean, there is a lot of it, but I guess it's the right questions. Yeah. I guess it's like questions as long as you don't get to go to, really, is this bullshit? I think as long as you don't take it there, which is where I naturally do, because you guys know I think logically.
All right, I want to not counter it. But
we're going to do a 5-hour show
because it's a damn good topic.
That's why I brought it to you guys, and I didn't say anything.
Now you said people in the Jewish faith we get questioned, right? You bring question, we question.
Well, correct? even the Seder, the Passover Seder, is a lot of questions.
Very good, very good. Now,
I didn't invent it.
Stop it. Yeah. Now, as a rabbi, you're supposed to be used to people questioning things. And for him to beat around the bush with you.
As a rabbi, you're used to having questions.
From Jews!
Two things here. That you generally have the answers to.
Yeah.
And where you have the moral high ground. There, he doesn't have the moral high ground. It's not comfortable for a man of God to really go, ah, shit, the Dick Joe comics got the moral high ground.
Yeah.
He couldn't backpedal quick enough.
But it's not, it's not even backpedaling.
It is.
Hear me out.
No. It,
and now we go to break.
I kind of couldn't. But he can't, you know, for somebody that gets questioned, he should be able to stand there and tell you like a man what his feelings were and level with
but
you why
you
he went to somebody else.
When you flat out call somebody a racist in our current society, you are shaking them to the core.
Yes.
And he has no answer other than, I just didn't feel it was right, which is based on nothing, because by his own admission, he did no research.
And not only that, and it's who you call. Look, if you call me a racist, well, it's accountability. But I'm not a man of God. Far from it. But if you call me a racist, you know, it's
a higher standard.
I should have an. I shouldn't backpedal. I should have an answer. I should question myself. I should apologize to you. It turns you, and I know the conundrum that you have is that you don't want this man teaching your daughter values, but unfortunately, a little girl is going to remember this. That she'll understand maybe later at maybe 20. All right,
I think she'll understand in her teens.
Maybe a little later. But all she's going to understand now is Daddy took me from a place I liked.
Yeah,
you got it. What are you going to do? Well, sorry, it's a little girl.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he knows straight up that he won't be seeing me around, and he knows straight up what I think about him.
You know what? Yes. Hey, you want to know something? When you go to when you are a temple, or when you're at a ceremony, you look at him when he gives like the sermon or whatever. You look at him.
I won't be there, Jeff.
No, won't be there.
Only time, you know, maybe graduation and dropping off my kid. My wife's like, well, you know, are you still going to drop her off? I go, I'm not.
But what I'm saying
you.
Is, all right, I'm sorry.
I'll take her.
Yeah, you're not going to give her extra work to do because I won't set foot near that place. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. But what I mean is the times that you do drop her off, if you bump into him, look him, you know, give him a look, but you know. Mm-hmm. When you go to her graduation ceremony or whatever, or any ceremony that's there that you have to attend, you look at him like, you know. It's like when a comic steals your joke and you really don't want to put it. A comic stole my joke. Every time I work, love the man to death. He's a sweetheart, but I'll do that joke and I'll look at him.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say anything, but you know.
Yeah, it's like, we both know. Don't pretend we don't know.
You know, never said a word, gave him a hug.
I don't even know what I'm going to... I mean, do you give him a wave when he looks? Do I just stare at him when he waves? Because he's
going to
wave.
No, just give him a nod. Because he needs to know. He needs to be reminded.
He really sounded like he felt terrible.
Because he's wrong, and he knows he's wrong, and he's a man of the cloth, and he's wrong what he's doing.
By the way, the agency that represented
mm-hmm. yeah.
all agree that I actually picked the guy that was the better
you
fit.
You absolutely did.
Yeah.
Jewish with a twist. And highly entertaining. He would have done a wonderful job.
I don't know if he's a war hero. He's a Marine. He's a veteran Marine. Don't get better than that.
It was based on racism.
Yep.
The decision was based on racism that he felt his congregation would have given him a problem with. Simple as that. It's wrong.
Here's the thing. Now, because they're clergy, we do hold them to a higher standard. And by definition, as being clergy, they hold themselves to a higher standard.
Well, I don't know what they hold themselves
to. Well, here's the thing. And I am not excusing his behavior in any way, but this is what I'm...
Well, you are the most racist person on the show. Yes, so if somebody was going to excuse the behavior, it would be...
If that was my title, I mean, because I would be backpedaling now there, too. No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't hit the equipment. Everything's running
No.
Be passionate. Just keep the fuck out of the
hands. I know. It's
talk with your mouth, not your hands, stupid.
Keep my wandering hands on the table. Above the table.
Grab Joe's cock. I don't care. Don't hit the equipment.
As long as you don't
Joe, settle up.
And when you come, don't hit the leg. All right?
I don't have that kind of aim like you.
All right. Go on.
But the thing is that we hold them to a higher standard, and they should hold themselves to a higher standard. That does not mean that as human beings they are not fallible.
Oh, they're fallible.
The problem that I have with this situation is that even though you could tell that he felt bad and he was really flummoxed when you were calling him a racist.
I think he felt bad because he stepped as Joe was stepped in shit and I called him on.
Yeah, he did. So, I mean, one thing that would really impress me in this situation is if he actually took some time to reflect on this and came back to you and said, you were right.
Well, we'll see
because
what happens.
He offered me,
you know, I could give you some money for the time you put in. I go, no, this isn't about the business.
Yeah.
I go, it's not about, I go, I'll talk to
how
you.
How much money?
No, I go, it's not about that. And I think that was the right move.
It wasn't the right move.
And you don't expect that behavior from a priest. I mean, you expect it when you're booking a bar gig at a place in Comac.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you expect it because when he's a bar runner, he's a prick. And blah, blah, blah. You don't expect it from a priest.
And I even said to him.
I'm a rabbi,
I even said to him, I go, you know what? I hired the comic before I had the contract signed, which I never do.
Yeah.
Because I was you're a man of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
By the way, Trucker Tom said earlier, I don't think that Jesus could have been a Jew, because how many Jews do you know push away money when we're talking about turning over the tables? And it's like, well, here's an example right now. Davin refused to take the money. So,
Davin could have been in the Bible.
I should have been in the Bible. If you listen to my act, I may have been in the Bible.
you're flipping over the money changers' tables and saying, I will not take the fee. That's not the point.
I've heard a lot of audience members sit there and go, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, you could have been.
As a non-believer, I really do have a lot of religious material.
You do.
And it's on
you
point, though.
You do.
It's
it
on
is.
Point,
it
though.
Well,
you've been rebelling against it since you were a kid. So
get your torches and pitchforks. There's a rabbi
and
in
place. You know what hurts even more? You probably, you know, you rebel and stuff like that. And you go, you know, I don't know if it's true, but there might have been a point where, maybe I looked at things too critically and stuff like that.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, no?
Yeah.
No, I always say, you know what, because you talk about the comfort. I go, that's the nice thing about faith. There's something to comfort, like, you know, yes. When people are in distress.
It's comfort and celebration.
Yeah, I don't
have
that.
Comfort and a death celebration and a wedding, you know, mm-hmm. That's why you
but
go
I,
there.
I feel like. It's a really. This is gonna. I don't want this to sound cocky, so. But I'm just gonna say it the way it is.
I'm the savior. What is it?
No. But it's a really shitty feeling, on some level, when so many of your dealings, in business and in life, where you're constantly have the higher moral high ground. And I'm no saint or anything like that. We know this. I do. You know. I'm no saint. I have my mistakes and everything. But so often, I'm just so. Disappointed by human beings.
Well, yes. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody who I know is a Christian, and so we were the point that we got down to was being a moral human being and being a religious human being are not mutually exclusive. I mean, you can not be. No, I didn't say that well. You cannot be a member of an institutional religion, and you could still be a moral human being decent human being.
Even though I didn't go to the church when I was a kid, I was trying to raise moral and to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. A lot of times you guys will goof on me. Ah, you've got no feelings. You Google my cold stone pea heart and stuff like that.
No.
That's been from being galvanized towards the world since when my dad died.
Yeah.
Just trying to scratch out a little bit.
You're a bad person.
No.
I think you do terrible things, but I think a lot of people do terrible things. Yeah. I don't think you're a bad person. If I thought you were a bad person, you wouldn't be sitting there.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't have you in my home. I might hire you as a comic. I certainly wouldn't be friends with you.
I try to have the moral, moral ground. And if I'm straying from moral, I do research and figure why I'm doing certain things and to find a reason for it and, live by certain things. And, and sometimes you look at certain things and you tried everything, and that's the way things go.
All right. So that's what I've been dealing with the past couple of days. You guys mind if I blow off the break because we are way behind?
No, let's go.
All right. So let's do the thing about the middle class.
Okay.
Should we do that?
Yes.
I mean, because we are way behind, so. But I think it was a good conversation.
It was a very good conversation.
And I've been dealing with that. And I told Facebook Pip the other night, I'm like seething. It's like, well, what? I'm like, I can't tell you.
Yeah. This is how most of our conversations go before Tuesday.
But no, I was really upset.
Oh, I know.
I did feel a little better when I got to tell them all. But anyway, we move on. Because I'm me. All right, so these are the 7 things that the middle class can no longer afford. So let's a little description of what the middle class is. The middle class describes an income category, but is also a set of attitudes. It's an essential characteristic is the possession of a reasonable amount of discretionary income. Middle class people do not live from hand to mouth, job to job, season to season.
Sorry, but Joe lives from hand to mouth when he's got fries.
I was just reading.
Some argue that the most
sorry.
Some argue that the most sensible income amount to attach to the middle class would be the median household income, which in the United States is $54,000.
Okay.
So that's where if two members of the family are working, or one member, that's the average income. That's right in the middle.
Yeah.
$54,000. And they say perhaps anyone who earns between the 25th percentile and the 75th percentile is a member of the middle class. So that encompasses more people. Probably a lower range and a higher range, obviously.
Right.
Upper lower, yeah.
Diana Farrell, that was the deputy director of America's National Economic Council, she told The Economist she thinks a middle-class income begins at the point where a person or family has one-third of their income left over for discretionary purposes after they've provided themselves with food and shelter. So if you're earning $3,000 per month, you'd have $1,000 left after you pay your mortgage, rent, utilities.
Wow.
And, we'll get
there.
Some
lower.
So this is from USA Today. That's where I got this story from.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing, and they do this in order of importance. This is how they vacations. And this is what they say about vacation. A vacation is an extra expense that middle-class earners cannot afford without sacrificing something else.
Mm-hmm.
A survey found that this is 54% of people gave up purchasing big-ticket items like TVs or electronics so they could go on a vacation. Others made sacrifices like reducing or eliminating their trips to the movies, 47% said that, reducing or eliminating trips to restaurants, 43%, or avoiding purchasing small-ticket items like new clothing, 43% said that. Now, for me, I kind of have to excuse myself from this one because, to be fair, a lot of our vacations, my family's vacations,
or work.
They're not my vacation.
Yeah.
I just happen to be at a really cool place where the wife and kid will have a good time, and I'm working at night, but, I'm getting paid to offset the expenses and everything. So I think I have to, I could not afford the Atlantis.
Right.
Every year. Because that place, now, I don't think that's a typical middle class family vacation, although there's middle class people that go there. So I guess it is. It is mostly middle class. Right.
Well,
it is.
But they might be that they go, once every few years or something, and they have a big blowout kind of vacation.
Right, but
you know?
I don't think I can really honestly weigh in on this because I don't have to make those type of sacrifices or even put myself in the position to ask myself that question because fortunately I'm working in some desirable locations.
Yeah.
That being said, do you guys go on vacation?
No, I haven't been on vacation in over 12 years. And because I can't afford it. Now, what I find interesting in the survey here is that they're saying people are giving up vacations to get other disposable items, like a new TV, another sort of electronic, like a video game or something like that, reducing trips to restaurants,
right,
and stuff like that. They're avoiding,
like, saving up,
or avoiding small ticket items like clothing, and they're doing that instead of going on vacation. Now, here's the difference with me. I'm not going on vacation because I'm paying dental bills. I know this is down the
survey,
but I'll make it brief. Where none of my spending is going to anything else discretionary.
So by this account, you're not middle class. You're lower class. And what about you, Pip?
You know, I'm feeling a little guilty here because I'm thinking, like, wow. I mean, we're pretty frugal, but it's not that. I'm going down to the other categories in my mind and saying, well, you know, we didn't do that one because we did that one. And, oh, well, we had a lot of that, so that meant
we
didn't
do
so much
of those.
Well, you can't
do all the stuff that we're going to discuss in 1 year.
No, you really can't.
But do you take regular vacations?
No, and we do, like, have kind of frugal vacations. Like,
so by this standard, you would be lower class, even though I believe you are above the medium household income. I think you're well above that.
We're above medium, you know, but we don't sort of... You know,
I'm above median too.
Yeah,
so am I.
Okay,
and it depends where you live as well.
Yeah, well, that's another thing.
Like
that's
that.
We live in the New York, New Jersey area, which is a very expensive place to live.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and by the same token, we probably get paid more than the same job in another area.
I assure you, for comedy, I am not.
No, perhaps not.
I am getting paid like I live in Wyoming.
Comics. What's the thing? Comics haven't gotten a raise
Appalachia.
In 20 years.
What?
We all discussed that the comics haven't gotten a raise in 20 years.
Yeah,
more than that. The money's going down. Forget
that.
Yeah,
it's gone down.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, so
we
move on. New vehicles. It says very few people who earn the median income can afford to buy a new car or truck. Interest.com recently analyzed the prices of new cars and trucks, as well as the median incomes across 24 major cities, and found that new cars and trucks were simply not affordable to most middle-class earners. Middle-income families in only one major city, Washington, D.C., can afford the average price Americans are paying for new cars and trucks, and as of 2013, that was $32,000. Now, okay, a couple things about this. I could get a new car. But the cars I'm buying for my needs are not they're less than $32,000.
I agree, and I don't know why they came to that. Well, maybe because a lot of people get SUVs and stuff like that.
Which is a more expensive car.
I mean, I got the
you bought a used car, though.
Well, here's the deal. And the only reason I bought a used car was because I had the Honda Element, and I brought my first one, Element, brand new, through 175,000 miles on it, and the only reason I bought another one used was because I love the truck, and I can't drive anything else but that
truck. But could you have afforded, a 30?
Absolutely, no. Now, here's the deal.
20,000?
23. When I go out and buy a new vehicle, the range price I pay is $23,000 for
a
vehicle.
So you could get the new vehicle.
I could get the new vehicle, but based on that $23,000 range, I could not go out and purchase a vehicle at $30,000 to $40,000.
What about you, Pip?
I mean, I'm pretty frugal when it comes to cars, and this car that I'm driving now is only the second bought new car I ever had in my life. I always bought used cars, and you know, after you put enough money into repairs,
this is my second new car too.
Yeah, if you put enough money into repairs on the old ones, you know, I paid it off in a 5-year loan.
So we could all afford a new car.
Yeah, but not getting those big mama jobs.
Maybe it's just not what we need.
I have a baby Nissan, you know?
Here's an interesting one. To pay off debt. These statistics come from debt.org. Says more than 160 million Americans have credit cards. The average credit card holder has at least 3 cards. On average, each household with a credit card carries more than $15,000 in credit card debt. It says not only do we have large amounts of credit card debt, we also have student loans, mortgages, cars, and medical debts. Our debt is growing faster than our income, and many middle-class workers have trouble staying afloat. MoneyZine evaluated debt growth and income over the past few decades, and it says back in 1980, the average consumer credit card per person was $1,540 in debt, which was 7.3% of the average household. Now it's... And the average household income is $21,000. Mm-hmm. As of 2013, the average debt is $9,800, and it's 13.4% of the average household income, which is $72,000. So this means debt's increased 70% faster than income from 1980 through 2013. I don't have any credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
Our cars are paid off. Our mortgage, we still pay a mortgage. We don't have another loan out. You know, I paid off law school and everything. So again, I would be probably above middle class in this, just in the fact that we don't have the debt. What about you guys?
I got plenty of credit card debt, but once again, it's not all fun and games with the exception of a watch. it's car repairs.
Right.
Dental bills.
Mm-hmm. It's still debt, though. How much debt do you have?
Probably about 10 grand.
All right. So you're
average.
Yeah.
In that
Which
respect.
Is scary because the income rates are so high. It's really hard to get out from underneath once you're buried in it.
Yeah, it really is. Because, you know, if you're just making the minimum payments, as everybody knows, you're never going to get out.
Yeah, well, I don't make minimum payments. Yeah. I mean, I pay, but it's just, you know, a little. Because what happens is that you put oil, you know, you need to pay the oil bill. Oil, to heat my home, I spend $3,000 a year in oil.
Yeah.
So what I do is I try to throw that on there to pay it down and stuff like that. You know, and
it's a never-ending cycle.
It's a never-ending cycle. So there's not. I mean, if you look what was on there, it's not all fun and games. Most of it's not. Christ, 95% of it's not.
What about you? You got credit card debt?
I have. I use my American Express because I get like perks and stuff off of using that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also it keeps me honest because you have to pay the whole thing every month.
That's the thing about American Express.
That's so. I only use that one. So that, you know, every month I pay it off. And I use that instead of cash or my bank card only because I get, you know, that little bit of like points, and I'll use it if I'm going to buy like, you know, concert tickets, they use the points, or I recently got two books for free because
all right, we don't need to know points. All the perks you get. We get
no,
it.
No. I'm just saying that that's the reason. That's the reason I would use that.
There was a potted plant I had my eye on, and right. Thanks to my American Express, we get
How
it.
How do you know about that?
Because it just seemed right.
But
thanks for taking us on a shopping trip.
I know. Mr. Helix might have a little bit of credit card debt, but that was really because of medical expenses. And we just paid off all of our vet bills, which were huge.
But that still counts.
Yeah. Because
that means you didn't have the income to pay it right away.
No.
Yeah. So would you guys say you're below or above the...
Because we do have savings. With this, I'd say I'm above because we don't have
I would say I'm
debt.
Above, too. Joe seems to be hurting.
It's not hurting. You got to understand something, okay? Basically with that, you're getting, you know, every month you're getting a $745 heating oil bill. Okay, because oil is so high.
Yeah.
You know, and when you talk about going to the dentist at $1,200.
We'll get there.
But what I'm saying is that these bills, you brought up the vet bills. I'm surprised the vet bills are astronomical. So you're getting these people. You're talking about, you know, these charges. Think of how expensive things are and what things cost. You have no choice to put them on a credit card.
Yeah.
Retirement savings. Says if you reach a retirement age with little or no money saved, so Social Security is probably not going to be enough to cover your basic needs. Probably it's not a chance.
No, it won't be.
Even if you want to work for your entire life, you have no way of knowing whether or not you'll be physically capable of doing so, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
Although having a lack of retirement savings is a risky move, many people bet on double zero, just hoping that things will work out in their favor. Some members of the middle class neglect this aspect of financial planning because they are procrastinating. There are also some workers who cannot afford to put money aside. Nearly half of those who don't save for retirement saves because they simply don't have the money. As of late, around 20% of people near 65 have not saved anything for retirement at all, and the majority of people, 59%, worry that they don't have enough money saved for retirement, according to the Gallup poll. Joe, what age do you plan on retiring?
They're probably going to find me dead on the floor.
We're hoping.
But but here's the deal. I have not really contributed into retirement savings because...
No, but I asked you. We'll get there. What age do you plan on retiring?
I don't know.
So you're in your 50s.
Yeah.
And you still don't... So, I mean, you know, theoretically, it's on the horizon.
I don't plan on retiring. I want
from comedy or from the other job?
From whatever I'm doing at that time. I want to be fine. I want to drop dead on stage or found dead at a desk. Mm-hmm. I don't want to retire.
Both can be arranged. What about you, Pip? Because I know you got a different type of job. Theoretically, you could retire soon.
Theoretically, I could. I would not be able to live on just that.
Garage sales aren't going to pay for themselves.
No. Darn. I would like to retire someday, but I wouldn't
what
be...
What year?
I wouldn't be doing it until I was like 70-something.
I would like to retire at 65,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of unheard of for comics because we kind of, like as Joe says...
We wish you could retire today.
We tend to die in hotel rooms or, you know, performing or whatnot.
But, you know, you didn't touch on the savings part, how hard it is to put savings in there.
Yeah, because I'm just getting into this.
Okay.
What are you, new? You don't know how I do a show?
I was just wondering if you did. Because you kind of glossed over it. I know where you're going to go back in.
Because it was the first damn question.
Okay.
You're an asshole. Let me give you the rabbi's number. Why don't you two do a show from your house?
Be honest, though. more of a moral compass than him, let me tell you.
Which is scary to us all. So you have not started saving, Joe.
I started to save about 10 years ago, and as household expenses kind of snowballed, it's tough, and I have not.
Well,
now,
I think you're house poor, because you have
that's exactly right. Yeah. Now, when the divorce gets all settled and whatever I have left, I am going to do what I wanted to do.
I believe Joanne's calling that independence
stuff. Yeah.
Yes, there will be fireworks.
I wanted to do what I wanted. I wanted to plan is get a small place.
Yeah.
And live within my means. I've never lived within my means, ever.
Really?
Because I had to stay at this house because Joanne, we were going to have kids. We're going to stay, and Joanne was going to help with half the expenses, and it's fun. And she never did.
None
and
of that
because
stuff
of, happened. That house was sold. That was cleaned and sold. I wanted out of there. I wanted a small place. I wanted to live within my means because my mother was very bad with money. Yeah. I'm not, okay? And I swore I wouldn't do it.
Right.
I would not do it. And it's been 22 fucking years, and I have been saddled with this place. Ugh. And I could have moved back in 1994. 1995, and because Joanne wanted to stay and have kids, I stayed. I have never lived within my means, and I'm a person that I'm kind of frugal.
Yeah.
And if you don't think my retirement savings has been a big thought on my head,
sure.
I mean, I still get reports from my old job, and I did have savings. I do have a couple of retirement plans.
Yeah.
That I had. But I do. But it's nothing. It's nothing that's going to carry me. So I do. I do think of the day I would like to retire. I don't know when that is because I'm a workaholic and I love working. Mm-hmm. Regardless if it's stand up or the
day
other
program.
Things I do.
Day program.
Day program, whether it's the day program. Funny, I love that. Whether it's the day program or stand up or whatever. So I'm a workaholic, but it does every week on my mind. I tell myself that I got to start saving for my retirement. I got to do something. When the dust settles on my marriage, I definitely will be very conscious of that because if I wanted to retire in 65, that's, you know, less than 15 years away.
Mm-hmm. Are you starting to save?
Yes. We do have some savings, and there's some enforced savings through work and some other little things. I mean, not as much as I should have put away, but we do have some, and, you know, that I contribute to. And Mr. Helix has some, too.
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't have savings. I give my wife money to invest,
mm-hmm.
you know, into her Roth IRA and some stuff from work, and we have stocks and everything.
Yeah.
How many years would that last? I mean, I don't know. I mean, our portfolio looks good right now, but that's because the stock market's doing great.
Yeah.
And when everybody was selling in 2008 is when I was buying.
Well, I'll tell you a funny side story. The guy that was handling my my portfolios and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I lost kind of lost contact with him. He moved to a new firm. I actually saw him at a party. And he moved from, I go, where have you been? Holy smokes. Can I get your card? He goes, yeah. I go, we got to sit down. We really need to sit down. Goes, like I said, it's been on my mind.
Yeah.
I get the card. I put it in my pocket. I wound up in the wash. I can't read it.
Oh, no.
And that's why you're going to die poor.
Dumb as they come.
Won't it be ironic?
Dumb as they come.
Won't it be ironic when poor Joe, Mr. Republican, Mr. Financially Conservative will be living off the government teat for the final 10 years of his life?
We'll see what happens.
I'm willing to bet you will.
See what happens. And you want to know something? If I'm living off the government teeth, it would be Social Security, and I hope the hell it's going to be there.
Might not be.
It might not be.
Too.
No.
All right.
My generation is the first one. They say my generation, the years I were born, I'm the one going to get the big old in the
because
ass.
God doesn't like you.
No, he doesn't. No.
No.
We got thrown off. Don't forget, we got thrown out of church at one time.
That your accountant wasn't your fault.
No, asshole, you got us in trouble.
Should have put me there.
It was some road
my skin was starting to blister. You should have known that was a sign to leave.
First notice.
Listen, I'm uncomfortable. The Lord's uncomfortable. Nobody wants me there. The Lord doesn't like me telling his holy men what's what.
Maybe that was being hypocritical and stuff like that. Not hypocritical.
Could you imagine if there's a guy looking up to go and looking down me and the rabbi go, really? Really? You got this guy? You're supposed to be one of my guys?
That's probably what happened. But it's funny. I think you guys were telling road stories or something like being loud or something like that or goofing on church. But I don't think you're like, really?
No,
really?
No, what I'm
talking about. did it.
No, no, no. No, I'm talking about, like, if the God is above, looking at me, like, going off on the rabbi. And, like, he said, really? You're my God?
Oh, no, no, no. He definitely got a really from God.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Really? Did you? Did you really get the other guy? Did you? Did you?
Don't you listen?
Did you?
Did you see him fall over like he got smacked in the back of the head by an invisible hand as soon as he left you?
Oh, you'll be back next year? Will you? Really? Is he?
this guy's community. He's a savior. I know the truthy truth.
The show stopped.
Pip is parched. We don't know how to react.
We're so conditioned on our own little things.
You and I
the show.
Soda back
you know, when Pip wanted soda, like, what do we do now?
What do we do?
It's broken. It's
fucking
broken.
Soda.
She always has her coffee.
This is not in sequence. This is not the sequence we follow. I'm not used to this pattern.
This
what do we do?
Show prep. What
do we do?
How dare you get parched?
How dare you want soda?
I totally blew them away asking for some Diet Coke.
Excuse
the fuck.
You and I were looking for the Diet Coke like a lonely woman who hears an intruder looking for a gun.
What do we do? Yeah.
I know it's here somewhere.
Totally panicked.
We didn't know what to do. What assholes.
I can handle tech equipment going down. I can't handle you being thirsty.
Yeah.
It'll never happen again. I swear to God.
Do it on a break, stupid.
We're not taking one. So
I'm
want to blow off the third break, too?
No,
we'll do a quick one. We'll do a quick one. All right, let's get through this. Medical care is a basic necessity and something we'd think would be affordable for someone earning middle income. You would think that. That's always been the argument against health care.
Yeah.
Well, if they have a job, they'll get but it's just not that.
It's not true.
It's just not, because expenses are so high. A Forbes article published data indicating that workers in large companies, many of whom are members of the middle class, face nearly $5,000 in premiums, co-payments, deductibles, and other forms of co-insurance. During the past few years, these costs have had a large impact on working Americans. A report by Feeding America found that a shocking 66% of households say they've had to choose between paying for food and paying for medical care. And we hear that, and that was the impetus behind the Affordable Health Care Act.
Right.
31% say they have to make that choice each and every month. So, I have never had to make that choice. That being said, I don't go to doctors. The wife does.
Right.
The kid does. I don't go to doctors. And I am insured through my wife's company. My job, comedy, I probably would not have insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Pip, have you ever had to make that choice?
No, I can't say that I have. I've been really lucky that I have good health insurance through my work so far.
Joe?
Yeah, actually, I made that decision about 3 months ago. I went to the doctor. I'm a diabetic, mild diabetic, or borderline diabetic, whatever you call it.
Borderline retard, too.
Anyway,
there's
so
that
I
big laugh. That's he's doing what he does.
The real one isn't coming.
That's the Joey.
Nice.
So I go to pick up a medication to accentuate the metformin, which is the diabetic medicine, and it's $300 a bottle. And
damn.
And I go, I have a copay. That's
what do you
correct.
Think he pays on good whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
So I said, and I go, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. I go, I can't afford that. $300 a month. So I went back to the doctor when I was at the doctor, because I've been there twice in the past couple of weeks. The last time I was there, we actually had a discussion about this, and I go, you know, you're killing me with this $300.
Right.
And he goes, well, you got to try to get something to stabilize it. Well, I go, you know what? I'm changing my diet because I can't afford that. We'll up the metformin, but I'm telling you right now, I can't afford $300. I go, there's no generic for it. Well, you know what? I'm gonna have to figure it out because I can't afford $300 a month.
Right.
Now, a lot of the stuff, basically why this medicine is $300, is a lot of developmental costs for the medicine.
Yeah,
we have
of
the
course.
Most greatest medicines in the world that nobody can afford.
Right.
You know, and no matter Obamacare or whatever.
You're not allowed to get the generics usually.
Yeah.
There's patents and whatnot.
Well, it depends. And a lot of times what happens is, and I learned a good lesson from the guy that handles our benefits. A lot of times the doctor will prescribe you the genuine.
Yes.
It's not because he sat there and read the results and, you know, poured through the results, because the pharmaceutical saleswoman had a wiggly ass,
yep,
and he sold them. So, you know, if you do, it's true. You ever go to the diner and see a pharmaceutical, they could be on a runway. So what you do is, always question your doctor when your
I
doctor
need to get sick.
Yeah, they are babes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And
yes.
They just bought, you know, either ask to get a sample.
Stupid healthy.
I know. Ask to get a sample or question them to get a generic. In this case, I could not get a generic. However, on my regular medications are all generic, and I've saved almost $150 a month.
Go to Mexico. It's cheaper there. We pay the highest pharmaceuticals in the country, in the world.
Yeah, well, it's all the developmental costs on that. And that's an argument for another day on how to handle that. But it does take...
And who better to handle that argument than us?
Yeah. But
Lisa says her meds are $1,900 a month.
Yes. And
but Lisa probably has a variety of ailments going on. I don't think she's got the sniffles.
But when I did bitch, the people I work with, there's a couple of people that were going to me, oh, that's all? That's all you pay?
That's all.
So getting back to our story here, how are you supposed to pay that?
How are you supposed
and
to pay
that? Lisa also lives in Canada, so I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm throwing out there perhaps the government pays a lot of that.
She says, my company drug plan pays everything but $400.
Well, you know, at a $1,900, that's not so bad. I mean, $400's a hefty chunk.
It's a big chunk.
But, I mean, they're paying a lot of it. They're paying like 80% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a hit. That's a hit for them, too.
Yeah, it's a huge chunk of it.
Yeah. Dental work. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the U.S. spends about $64 billion each year on oral health care. Just 4% is paid by government programs. About 108 million people in the U.S. have no dental coverage, and even those who are covered may have trouble getting the care they need, the department reports. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, people will purchase medical coverage and forego dental because it's so expensive. Plus, dental insurance may cover only 50% of the more expensive procedures like crowns and bridges. This leaves those who have insurance with large copayments. Yeah, I mean, I have dental coverage, again, through my wife.
Yeah.
I go to the dentist twice a year for checkups. That being said, you know, whenever you actually need something other than a checkup, the insurance company don't want to pay squat.
No,
it's horrible what they pay for the cavity. I mean, I had a lot of my dental work caught up probably about a year and a half ago, and that was about $3,000 worth of stuff. $3,000 I don't have.
Right.
$3,000 that goes on the credit card. $3,000 that racks up. But you need to have dental work. Thank God I have my father's teeth. My mother had awful teeth. Thank God I didn't have my mother's teeth. You know, I wound up getting my father's teeth. You know, but nonetheless, I had, you know, you get the crown, you get all, you know, which is very, very expensive. My dentist is very expensive, but he's damn good. I stick with him because I had a shit dentist about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they're expensive, and they try to work with you. But nonetheless, I mean, if you need major dental work, you walk out $3,000.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is don't need root canal.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
I mean, have you had to forego dental procedures because of the cost, Pip?
No. The only thing that I can say is that I have, luckily in the last few years, my teeth have been holding steady and are okay. They're not the greatest teeth, but they're holding in there and they're doing what they're supposed to do. The love of my life, Mr. Helix, the worst teeth ever!
Is he British?
No, but oh my God, he's had so many crowns and posts and this and that. It's unbelievable. And, you know, like those costly measures that you have to take, the insurance doesn't cover everything. So we've had some dental plans
that just blow your mind.
The
dental plan I have now is good for paying for cleanings.
Yeah.
And like, but when it comes to what the chart, you know, what the cover and what's charged, I never had a dental plan that was really that good. They don't pay that well. I really don't care what the plan is. Maybe if you have like a Cadillac plan, you know, maybe that pays for most of it or, you know, or all of it. But for the most part, every dental plan I had was adequate.
Well, I will say, in small part because of my job and in large part because of my wife's job, we are doing better than the average middle class. But that being said, we live within our means.
Mm.
Well, I don't buy a bunch of things. You know, I mean, like this Black Friday, you know, I've talked about in the show before how I go shopping. We didn't buy anything. We didn't buy anything on Cyber Monday because we're like, we don't really need anything. So I think that's why we're doing okay because we live within our means. I think that's the hard part. But I would say we're doing better than most. I think you're doing about middle class.
Yeah, I think we're actually doing better than most. I mean, you know, we both have paid for cars, but Mr. Hillux has to get a new one soon because it's older model and things are starting to go.
And you got more shit, so it's got to find a home.
Look at all that shit around.
Something with good suspension, you know. And but I think we're doing better than most. according to this chart. But there are still things that come up, like our vet bills were astronomical. We didn't have to send kids to college, but when our cats need to get checked out,
no,
or
it's money
they
you
need,
don't have. It's
wrong. Yeah, it's money
but you
don't
can
have.
You. But here's the thing: you can get it taken care of.
But I can get it taken care of.
I think, and you know, Joe will answer. I think Joe, because of his housing situation, is probably doing what they say the middle class is doing.
Yeah,
I think that.
Well, yeah, because you got to remember, I pay one of the highest taxes in the country. I pay $3,000 in fuel oil.
That's crazy.
A year.
Hi,
it should be less this year.
Well, we'll see. I had
Obama.
I have homeowners insurance that's expensive because I'm on an island. Basically,
but not a tropical one.
Oh no, but you know, a lot
with all that heat he's got going in the house, it should be.
I got adjustable rate mortgage, which they just adjusted. So,
that's the killer.
So yeah, that's the killer. So you know, it's a lot of things. I have a soon to be ex wife that really has no clue on how much things cost. So it's, you know, in my situation, it's rough. And like I said, I wanted to downsize years ago. And I was forced and coerced. I was not able to. I've tried every trick in the book. And I own my house. You know, I own my house. I did my first refi. I did it because I just want to have something. And I own my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided that we did take a trip and this, that, and the other thing. And then just through bills, medical bills, it's been nothing
well,
but medical bills
you
and car repairs.
You do own your house, whereas I'm still paying a mortgage.
Well, I did mow my house, but I'm three refis in.
Oh, well, you're screwed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a pretty decent mortgage. I mean, we bought just before the market tanked, so we're not underwater.
I bought on the bubble.
We're not underwater. No. We bought...
07?
And so it was right before... I mean, like, months before.
Months before, yeah.
Months before, because... Then all of a sudden, you know, what we bought the house for, and then all of a sudden what it was worth, like, a few months later, we're like...
I'm not going to get what I paid for this house.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Hopefully, it's making a turn by me where I can kind of recoup my money.
All right, guys. Let's take a very quick pause.
Yeah.
We're going to play a Dower Road song, and then we'll come back with some scammers. So don't wander off. More good stuff ahead.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday night on davinsden.com, iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, and Clutch and Wiggle. On iHeartRadio, you'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps, so you can listen live on your mobile devices. The platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.